there, my friend, and welcome to the Ayurveda and Psychology podcast. I am Charlotte Skogsberg, your host for this podcast. I am enchanted to meet and to take you with me on this journey into the human psyche, viewed from the holistic approach of yoga and Ayurveda, and viewed from the modern man approach of clinical psychology and psychoanalysis. So have something nice to drink next to you, maybe a cup of tea, have a seat, or go out for a nice walk in nature, maybe. Enjoy. In this week's episode that focuses on psychology, I want to speak about the therapeutic aspect of things. And we often see claims, right, that yoga can heal just about anything. It's almost as if the asana, the poses, are magical. And you will get the comment from a yoga enthusiast, well, often recently certified teachers, for instance, that there's a yoga pose for that condition. Yoga is not therapy. There is no diagnostic procedure stated in any of the ancient texts. Patanjali did not bullet point how to cure disease in his Yoga Sutras, for instance. And this is very important to understand, because yoga is actually to be practiced only when in good health. If you wake up in the morning and you have a fever, a well-established yoga teacher will not suggest that you take a shoulder stand because it's a cooling pose. No, that is not a good idea at all. And that is not how it works. Actually, the whole reason that there are yoga poses is because the seated meditation cannot be practiced properly if the physical body is not in its right composition. You practice the yoga asana so that you open the body with the goal of being able to sit for a longer period of time, cross-legged, with ease, and still. Only those who would want to market themselves or yoga, make a business or create a name for themselves, would really make sensational claims about the yoga poses as a way to capture people's attention. However, there seems to be a therapeutic aspect to the yoga practice, though. By yoga practice, I'm referring to all of it: asana, pranayama, bandhas, mudras, chanting, and silent seated meditation as well. So what do I mean when I say that it's not therapy? It does not aim to be a therapy, and it does not respond to the conditions a therapy has to be called such a thing. If you have an acute situation, yoga will not be there to heal you. If you are starting to have shooting pains in your left arm, for instance, don't sit down to practice pranayama. Get yourself to the hospital. Yet, people with all kinds of disease testify of their healing after doing yoga for a certain amount of time. So what is going on there? Let's take a look at the physiological aspects. Let's look at the unexplained disorders we see around us today, these chronic conditions that we are told to be incurable. We just need to take a pill for the rest of our lives. I'm speaking of the inflammatory states of the organism leading to various disorders and even autoimmune conditions. In the world of 2024, this is a major issue. Both the, let's say, scientific community and just the medical profession are in consensus over the fact that there has never been such an increase of these diseases before. Actually, I don't want to call them diseases because it feels really fatalistic. I rather use the term condition, since health is really on a spectrum of a more or less homeostatic balance. In my personal opinion, it is hard to find a cure to a condition of which we do not know the cause. And this is why we are told that there is no way to stop taking the medicine. Many of these conditions stem from an inflammatory state in the organism that the body does not manage to solve. And so the state becomes chronic. I will not tell you today that you need to change your worldview in order to accept my solutions. You do not need to think holistically about your body and the world. And you do not need to adopt a spiritual perspective on your life. Because the reasons that yoga is therapeutic are, well, simply said, scientific. No matter what causes inflammation in your body, we know for sure that two systems specifically have as their functions, really their jobs, to get rid of inflammation. And it's the immune system and the lymphatic system. Firstly, the immune system is all about detecting intruders and creates the inflammatory response of heat, redness, swelling, and so on, in order to disarm the intruder. And the process of inflammation is meant to be acute, resolving once that the threat has been neutralized. However, when inflammation becomes chronic, it can contribute to various diseases, indicating a malfunction or overactivation of the immune system. The lymphatic system has as a job to transport waste products to the exits so that they are removed from the body. The less waste products get stuck, the less the risk of inflammation is there. But more than that, it transports the immune cells in its channels, let's say, in its canal of lymphatic fluid, which increases the capacity of the immune system, since these cells can deal with pathogens encountered all around in the body this way. And the main reason that either of these two systems would malfunction is if the nervous system is agitated. Now, the vagus nerve that I've spoken about previously is a part of the nervous system, more specifically of the parasympathetic nervous system, that is the rest and digest mode. If the vagus nerve is not strong, it will impact the heart, lungs, and the gut. Therefore, it has a determining role in the way the nervous system regulates fight or flight versus rest and digest. That which we sometimes would even call like a dysregulation of the nervous system. When on fight or flight, also known as the sympathetic mode, we don't digest very well. Our stomach acids are poor. This is why, of course, we get digestive problems during stressful periods of our lives. And the vagus nerve depends on the stomach acids to function well, and will therefore be affected in prolonged periods of fight or flight. But our immune system is very much located in the gut, so it will also affect. Maybe I'm simplifying a little bit too much, but to see things clearly, an overactive stress response from our nervous system creates dysregulation for the vagus nerve. And through this, because of the decreased digestive capacity, amongst other things. Now, this gut link is also causing issues for the immune system. But the stress response will affect the lymphatic system, and through that, also the immune system. And since both of these have the role of regulating inflammation in the body, it escalates into chronic conditions. Okay. So now that we have cleared the air on what is the cause of the incurable condition, really, where we're coming from, right? Where it stems from. Let's come back to where I started, on how yoga can have a therapeutic effect on these systems and on the conditions. And this is where I will give you all the reasons why it is. Well, probably not all, but those that I, you know, have come to think about. And in the title of today's episode, I stated 4 reasons, but that's just to give a number. And I'm sure I might give you 5 or 6, depending on what I come to think about as I talk. So yes, the yogic practices can reduce stress in the system when it's done the right way. Most of us have heard that once or 100 million times. And I'd like to put the emphasis on the when done the right way, because yoga is really like a poison. Taken the right way, it can cure you. And taken the wrong way, it can, well, kill you. It's more complex. So let's begin with, let's say, reason one then, vagus nerve. It has been shown that we stimulate, we strengthen, we tone the vagus nerve with practices just like seated meditation or, for instance, deep breathing, especially deep exhalation. Why deep exhalation? Because when you inhale, you're activating the fight or flight mode. When you're exhaling, you're activating the rest and digest mode. And so remember that I said that the vagus nerve was indeed a part of the nervous system, but more specifically, the rest and digest. So focused breathing that put the emphasis on exhalations and to deepen the exhalations will stimulate the vagus nerve. So there you go. One reason that yoga has a therapeutic effect on our organism. The second reason would be the focus on the lymphatic drainage and that beauty of yoga asana that makes them so much more sophisticated than just a regular exercise routine. There's a play, a dynamic of contracting and releasing the muscles as we hold a yoga asana, which is extremely beneficial for the lymphatic flow of the body. If you listen to the previous episode, you know that the lymph depends on movement of muscles and breath in order to move around, since it does not have a pump to move it around, like the blood does. More, though, than the contractions and releases, the twists, the bends, the inversions, all of them push the lymph to flow, especially in parts of the body where normally it might not. So this has an overall increased function of the lymphatic system, which in itself is therapeutic, since the lymphatic system needs to flow well in order to get rid of waste products and to therefore be able to respond to the inflammatory response of the body. As long as things are flowing, nothing can stagnate. Stagnation means there's a possibility for germs, for whatever toxins, to fester, to stay, to create problems. Then if I would go into a third reason why yoga would be therapeutic for us, I could focus more on the immune system and the fact that a big part of it resides in the gut. Now, there are other aspects of the immune system that benefits from yogic practices in general. But for instance, the gut is important since a big part of the immune system lives there. Now, yoga practice, yoga asanas, yoga sequences of postures increases actually our metabolism. It is yoga asanas is an anabolic process, right? That is happening during the practice. the process of breaking down molecules that then leads to growth of the tissues. Typically, when you use your muscles, when you push, you are actually breaking them down so that when they then come into rest, they build themselves back up again and they become even stronger. And this is actually a part of metabolism. And it's therefore a part of the metabolic process when you practice yoga. And it therefore contributes to strengthening our gut and our capacity to metabolize. Basically, the healthier our metabolism is, the stronger the immune system becomes. And the fourth reason then, well, let's look at breathing. So that which we call diaphragmatic breathing is something that yoga uses, teaches. And you do it, yes, in the pranayama, but you do it also in the yoga asanas. And it has a direct effect on the detoxification process of our internal organs. You see, a big part of the lymph nodes are situated kind of like on top of the stomach and therefore just next to the diaphragm. When we do a proper breathing of the diaphragm, it moves. And it moves, therefore, the organs, the internal organs that are just underneath. And it stimulates these nodes that are also located there much more than just the quite typical, rather shallow breath we often have, especially if we don't know any better. The more we move the organs and the nodes, the more we activate the lymphatic flow and therefore the transportation of the waste products towards the exits. You might remember that I've spoken in the past of the fact that every single night our organs begin to detoxify and then pushes the waste products towards the exits. So as we have a regular practice of this diaphragmatic breathing, we're stimulating that process. We're helping the body to detoxify and then also helping even more to push towards the exits. So these are some of the reasons that yoga actually is therapeutic for us. And these ones are all related to the asana practice. But we could also dive into strengthening the vagus nerve, not only while we're in these kind of practice, because you see, the repetition of a sequence that stimulates the vagus nerve also helps to condition the nervous system in its response. And that continues when we're off the mat. So basically what that means is that by practicing regularly, we're not only getting the healing effect while we're doing it, we're getting it when we do all other kinds of things as well in the rest of the day and the night. A dysregulated nervous system, which means that it's a nervous system that is far too much on the fight or flight mode and that is having big difficulties to regulate itself back to the rest and digest, needs to be trained back into a regular mode. And that is what you do when you keep repeating the relaxing part, when you keep repeating the things that stimulate the vagus nerve. And we have also understood that the vagal tone is strengthened through vibrations that happens when we hum, chant, or sing. The vagus nerve, being part of the parasympathetic mode of our nervous system, is therefore also stimulated when we do that. And when we are practicing different techniques of relaxation. And one of the unique parts of yoga is, of course, corpse pose or shavasana, right? At the end of every practice, we find ourselves laying down and resting in order for the nervous system to come back to a balanced state, enhancing, therefore, the stimulation of the vagus nerve. It is strengthened, lymph is flowing, and immune cells are circulating. These are all wonderful things happening naturally on a physiological level as you practice regularly the different branches, the different limbs of yoga. When we are experiencing conditions in our life that are linked to either of these systems, you are therefore naturally improving your states little by little, day by day. But of course, since you are training your system back to health, it takes far longer than suppressing the symptoms by taking a pill, which is of course why we need to develop other things alongside with this, such as patience and integrity, for instance, such as commitment to what we're doing. And as we stick with it, what happens is that our physical state improves. And when our physical state improves, naturally, the mental state improves, because the mental state is, of course, directly related to how the nervous system and the vagus nerve are regulated. It is challenging, I know, because we want to find the solution to whatever is going on with us, preferably yesterday. But in the long term, it is truly the only way to go, since the other option would only be, we don't know what causes this, take this pill, and you just got to have to take it for the rest of your life. And then, you know, just keep going, stay calm. There's no real healing in that aspect. And truly, if there's one thing we all humans have in common, I believe that it's that we would like to feel healthy. We would like to feel good and to be in a good mood. Now, this is why I find it so fascinating that thousands of years of tradition from the yogic philosophy and from the Ayurvedic medicine is 100% useful in today. It's not ancient. It is timeless. And it's also for that reason that I've chosen to integrate more modern practices as a correlation and as a way to work from all kinds of, let's say, approaches on ourselves. And so I will very soon, in the next weeks or so, begin to integrate the discussions that I've been having with, well, let's say a colleague, someone that I work with from the health perspective. I have the privilege of working side by side with another person coming from the yogic perspective, but that has also her roots in the medical field, and more specifically in the osteopathic field. So stay tuned, because soon you will start to get some really interesting key points on health and how it is all connected in this holistic approach that we rather have to our lives. Thank you so much for choosing to listen to this podcast and this episode. I am very grateful. If you enjoyed this and you think that other people could enjoy this, please help me to spread the word. Share this episode on any channel that you have of social media or messaging. And even more so, I would really appreciate if you know one other person who might benefit from my words today specifically. Take that 1 minute it takes to simply share this episode with one person. Remember that there's a human being on the other side of your phone, of your earpods, of this microphone. And I would love to hear your thoughts on what I've been talking about. So please leave a comment, send me a message directly if you wish. This is Charlotte. This is me. See you next time. Namaste.